A case report about granular cell tumor of the trachea as a rare cause of dyspnea in a young woman. Tracheal granular cell tumors are rare neurogenic neoplasm characterized by an indolent behavior. We report the case of a young woman affected by this tumor with no specific clinical presentation. We performed a literature search in order to identify other causes of tracheal granular cell tumor and to summarize the current state of knowledge about this rare disease. Introduction. Granular cell tumors are rare tumors of neurogenic origin. Although this neoplasm can occur in any part of the body, granular cell tumors are rarely reported in the laryngeal tracheal region. In tracheal granular cell tumors, treatment may vary from simple observation to tracheal resection or endoscopic excision assisted by laser. Electrosurgery or argon plasma coagulation. In this study, we present the case of a woman affected by tracheal granular cell tumor who presented with acute dyspnea. We conducted a literature search and we found for two cases of granular cell tumors of the trachea, including clinical, epidemiological, and therapeutic characteristics summarizing the current state of knowledge about this rare tumor. Case presentation. A 42-year-old former smoker woman, about 30 pack years, presented to the emergency department with acute onset of dyspnea, cough, and fever. The patient had no comorbidities and the physical exam was within normal limits. In order to exclude a pulmonary thromboembolism, a computed tomography angiography was performed, revealing bilateral hilar and mesenteric lymphadenopathy in various areas of ground glass of both the inferior lobes. Several blood tests were done in order to exclude an infectious disease. The tests were negative, including quantiferon TB gold test. Bronchoscopy showed a marked thickening of the tracheal carina extending for a few millimeters to the medial aspect of both mesenteric bronchi. Histopathology examination of the bronchial biopsies performed in this area revealed a sheath of epithelial cells with eosinophilic granular cytoplasm positive for S100 and ASE and negative for CHEM5.2. Consistent with a diagnosis of granular cell tumor. An endobronchial ultrasound-guided transtracheal needle aspiration of the lymph node situations 4R, 7, 11R was performed, and the cryptopathological examination suggested their reactive nature by showing a predominance of lymphocytes. Culture of the bronchoalveolar lavage for common bacteria, fungi, and mycobacteria proved negative. The tumor was ablated with laser. During rigid bronchoscopy, under general anesthesia, and the patient is currently free of disease 12 months after treatment. Discussion. Granuloma cell tumors, also known as Albers cough tumors are were reported by Weber in 1854 and later described by Abrikosov in 1926. They were originally considered muscle tumors and called myoblastomas on the basis of a supposed myogenic origin. Due to their ultrastructural and immunohistochemical characteristics in the last 20 years, granular cell tumors have been identified as neural lesions deriving from Schwann cells. These neuroblasts are characterized by a very slow growth rate and a benign behavior reported in up to 98% of cases. Cases of malignant granular cell tumors have been documented in literature, although none of these variants have been reported in trachea. Granular cell tumors usually involve skin, breast, and especially the gastrointestinal tract. For example, oral cavity, tongue, and esophagus, although they can occur anywhere in the body. Granular cell tumors represent a very rare finding in the respiratory tract, particularly in the laryngeal tracheal region, as evidenced by the only 42 cases, including one patient of tracheal granulus, including our patient of tracheal granular cell tumors reported in the literature up to now. We performed a literature search for the present study. The search included PubMed, Embiz, and Google Scholar, and used the following terms: tracheal granular cell tumor, granular cell tumor, rare airway tumors, tracheal malignancies. The inclusion criteria as follows: all types of articles published in PubMed and related only to humans, articles for which full tests were not available were excluded. The mainline search of granular cell tumors of the trachea found altogether 41 cases. Overall, 42 cases of granular cell tumor have been identified. The clinical and pathological findings of all cases are summarized in Table 1. The age range from 6 to 64 years, with a mean and median age of 33 years and 32 years, respectively. 35 of 42 patients were women, WIMI, and 22 of 30 were of African or African-American origin, and 2 patients were Asians. The mean size of the neoplasm at the time diagnosis were 2.27 centimeters, with a range from 0.45 to 6 centimeters in its large axis. 7 of 42 of the reported cases of granular cell tumors were multiple. As regards the size, 15 of 42 tumors were intrathoracic, 26 cervical. In one case, granuloma tumor cells were both cervical and intrathoracic in location. Our search listed 31 intraluminal neoplasms and 8 extraluminal. 3 of 42 tumors were both intraluminal and extraluminal. 24 patients received tracheal resection, while 7 tumors were endoscopically excised. One patient was treated with external beam radiation, a 24 tracheal resections, when no recurrence had been reported. The rate of recurrence in endoscopically resected patients were 29%, with 2 of 7 cases. Of the 24 granular cell tumors treated with tracheal resection, 3 patients died for post-operative complications. 5 of 24 patients who underwent tracheal resection also received thyroid lobectomy. 2 cases were treated with electrosurgery and argon plasma coagulation. As stated before, median age at diagnosis of tracheal granular cell tumors appears to be around 33 years, with the highest in African and African-American women. Nevertheless, there are some remarkable exceptions to this general rule, as indicated by several cases of tracheal granular cell tumors in pediatric age. No specific risk factors are currently linked to the diagnosis of tracheal granular cell tumor, although in most cases, active smoking or history of smoking is reported. Most granular cell tumors are found in females supporting a hormone relationship between gender and disease. Because of the small number of patients and the missing data, it is not possible to determine an established and definitive correlation between hormone factors and tracheal granular cell tumors, although the instance of granular cell tumor in hyperestrogenic state is reported by several authors. Our research could support this correlation between gender and tracheal granular cell tumor, since 85.4% of patients affected are female. These neoplasms are asymptomatic in the vast majority of patients. Clinical features associated with tracheal granular cell tumors include, if present, signs and symptoms such as persistent cough, hemoptysis, wheezing, obstructive sleep apnea, and progressive dyspnea, unresponsive to beta-2 agonists, glucocorticoids, and anti-collagenic agents. The initial diagnostic assessment should include a careful patient history and a physical examination. Many of the tracheal granular cell tumors are diagnosed incidentally on computed tomography or bronchoscopy. Recently, an Italian study focused on the specific pattern of tracheal GCT in multi-detector computed tomography scan, suggesting that these neoplasms appear to have smooth margins and no signs of invasion, a CT scan imaging without contrast administration. On the other hand, multiphase study shows elevated contrast enhancement in arterial phase and a modest release in venous phase, underlining important differences with other benign tracheal tumors. Endoscopic examinations such as laryngoscopy and bronchoscopy are the diagnostic modalities of choice, as they allow for direct visualization for localization, tumor size, luminal status, and tissue sampling. Microscopically, tracheal GCT appear more frequently as pedunculated polypoid lesion with intact mucosal, partially obstructing the tracheal lumen. From a histopathological point of view, granular cell tumors are composed of large round monomorphic cells with eosinophilic and granular cytoplasm. Tumor Tumor cells usually show a tendency to aggregate in nests without evidence of necrosis or vascular invasion. Immunohistochemically, the expression of S100 protein and neuron-specific analysis is crucial for reaching a definitive diagnosis. Tumor cells often express also laminin, HLA-DR, CD56, CD57, CD68, and several myelin proteins. Immunohistochemical staining is typically negative for smooth muscle. Chelating and inhibin. Treatments in tracheal granular cell tumor include tracheal resection or endoscopic removal assisted by laser, electrosurgery, or argon plasma coagulation. As stated by our research, tracheal resection seems to be particularly affected by the high postoperative mortality rate, severely limits its use. On the contrary, endoscopic excision appears to have a not significant recurrence rate in absence of perioperative mortality. The need for radical surgery often includes thyroid lobectomy, according to the extension and involvement of the peritracheal region. Very few data are currently available about the use of laser excision. Given the limited data, a reasonable approach could include endoscopic treatment as initial treatment of choice and a tracheal resection in case of recurring disease or large lesions threatening airway patency. No data are currently available in literature about the use of chemotherapy in tracheal granular cell tumors, and no cases of metastasized tracheal granular cell tumors have never been reported. Further emphasizing the indolent behavior of the disease. As regards the follow-up program, NOCT scans and endoscopic examinations may be recommended, although the rarity of the disease and the lack of data about recurrence rate do not permit to define ambiguous recommendations. Conclusion. We herein report a case of tracheal granular cell tumor in a young woman presenting with dyspnea. Diagnosis of tracheal granular cell tumor requires a high index of suspicion, giving a clinical presentation which often mimics typical signs and symptoms of bronchial asthma or recurrent pneumonia, as in our case. We encourage the need for large case series in order to provide further information concerning tracheal granular cell tumors, taking into account the paucity of data currently available in literature and the extreme rarity of the disease.